This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. We desire that you will find Jesus through this broadcast. Surrender your life to Christ. Repent and dedicate your life to His service in a living, loving, active faith. First, please join with me in prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Father God, I want to praise and make the name of God Almighty and His only Son, Jesus Christ, great and powerful before all of the many people listening today. May the words that I speak be the right words to communicate the glory of Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died to pay the penalty for sin for everyone who individually believes and trusts in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Give to each person listening the faith to trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, so they can know that through Jesus they have eternal life. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in Your eyes, O Lord, my rock and the one who saves me. I make this prayer to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. I want to let everyone know about our Vision for Christ website at gospeltoafrica.com. It works on your internet-enabled mobile phone also. You can listen to past, present, or future programs. Pastor Terry Priestap has written over 50 Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospeltoafrica.com, and I will repeat that at the end of the program for you. What does it mean that God is holy, holy, holy? The phrase holy, holy, holy appears twice in the Bible, once in the Old Testament in Isaiah 6:3, and once in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament reference reads like this: they called out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord who commands armies. His majestic splendor fills the entire earth." And then in Revelation 4:8, at the end of the Bible, each one of the four living creatures had six wings and was full of eyes all around and inside. They never rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the all-powerful who was and who is and who is still to come." Both times the phrase is spoken or sung by heavenly creatures, and both times it occurs in the vision of a man who is transported to the throne of God, first by the prophet Isaiah and then by the apostle John. Before addressing the threefold repetition of the holiness of God, it is important to understand what exactly is meant by the holiness of God. What is holiness? Well, the holiness of God is the most difficult of all of God's attributes to explain, partly because it is the one of His essential attributes that is not shared inherently by man. We are created in the image of God, and we can share many of God's attributes, to a much lesser extent, of course, love, mercy, faithfulness, etc., but some of the attributes of God, such as omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence, will never be shared by created beings. Similarly, holiness is not something that we will possess as an inherent part of our nature. We only become holy in relationship to Christ. It is an imputed holiness. It's given to us. Only in Christ do we become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reads, "God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we would become the righteousness of God." The holiness of God is what separates Him from all other beings, what makes Him separate and distinct from everything else. God's holiness is more than just His perfection or sinless purity. It is the essence of His otherness, His transcendence, going beyond human nature. God's holiness embodies the mystery of His awesomeness and causes us to gaze in wonder at Him as we begin to comprehend just a little of His majesty. Isaiah was a firsthand witness of the holiness of God in his vision described in Isaiah chapter 6. even though Isaiah was a prophet of God and a righteous man, his reaction to the vision of God's holiness was to be aware of his own sinfulness and to despair for his very life. Isaiah 6:5 says, "I said, 'Too bad for me, I am destroyed, for my lips are contaminated by sin, and I live among people whose lips are contaminated by sin. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord, who commands armies.'" Even the angels in the presence of God, those who were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," covered their own faces and feet with four of their six wings. Covering the face and feet denotes the reverence and awe inspired by the immediate presence of God. If we look in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we see that it says this, "When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from within the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here am I.' God said, 'Do not approach any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.'" The seraphim, the angels, stood covered, as if concealing themselves as much as possible, in recognition of their unworthiness in the presence of the Holy One. And if the pure and holy seraphim exhibit such reverence in the presence of the Lord, with what profound awe should we, polluted and sinful creatures, presume to draw near to him? The reverence shown to God by the angels should remind us of our own presumption when we rush thoughtlessly and irreverently into the presence of God, as we often do because we do not understand his holiness. So then, you may be thinking, is being holy even possible since only God is holy? My answer is that holiness is not only a possibility for the Christian, holiness is a requirement. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with everyone and holiness, for without it no one will see the Lord." The difference between God and us is that he is inherently holy, while we, on the other hand, only become holy in relationship to Christ, and we only increase in practical holiness as we mature spiritually. The New Testament emphasizes the pursuit of holiness in this world and the final attainment of holiness in the world to come. To be holy means we are, first of all, set apart for honorable use. Whereas we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, God our Savior saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So, for more on that, read Titus 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. The Lord took the initiative to pull us out of our former lifestyles. He saved us, cleansed us, and set us apart for righteousness. If we have believed in Christ for salvation, we have been washed by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and set apart from the world for godliness. See Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." However, the pursuit of holiness does not end when we come to Christ. In fact, it just begins. There is a positional holiness that we inherit at regeneration, and then a practical holiness which we must actively pursue. God expects us to cultivate a lifestyle of holiness, see 1 Peter chapter 1, and God commands us to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, "Like obedient children, do not comply with the evil urges you used to follow in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, 'You shall be holy, because I am holy.'" Romans 6:11 tells us, "So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Cultivating a lifestyle of holiness does not mean that we must have a list of do's and don'ts to live by. We are free from the letter of the law which kills, 2 Corinthians 3:6, and we now live according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:12-13 tells us, So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue working out your salvation with awe and reverence for the one bringing forth in you both the desire and the effort for the sake of his good pleasure is God. This is perhaps the most important lesson that we can learn as Christians. The ultimate desire of God for his people is that we be holy, conformed into the image of his Son Jesus. For more on that, read Romans chapter 8 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Holiness is the will of God for our lives. Of course, our flesh is weak. We're told that in Mark 14:38. None of us will reach sinless perfection in this world, but God has made provision for our sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Our pursuit of holiness in this world includes daily confessing and forsaking of sin. See Hebrews 12:1-3. But the first step, if you have not already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is to humble your heart, repent of your sinful rebellion against God and His holiness, confess your sin to God, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to make you into a new creature in Christ. I am going to pray for each of you right now. I ask you to join me in this prayer to God. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe and have eternal, never-ending life. Starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people, everywhere, how people can receive Christ by faith. We want you to become a sincere and true believer in Christ as your Savior. Vision for Christ is involved in helping to make disciples who will follow Christ daily and then live out their faith through good acts of service to others who live near them. We do enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Now, you may also write to us through our internet website. Let me give you that address. gospel2africa.com. That works on your internet-enabled mobile phone. Also there, in addition to writing to us through our contact page, you can listen to past, present, and future programs. Pastor Terry Priestap has written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. Again, that internet website address is gospel2africa.com. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you were not able to write it down just then. We enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about anything I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address. Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, spelled S-W-A-N-T-O-N, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com. And that is gospel2africa.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor. I offer this final bit of encouragement found in the Bible in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect.